Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere MQ Data Conversion Part 3. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a question and answer period. Today's presenters are Karen Stanley and Blanche Aishida. Blanche currently has the title of Advisory Software Engineer. She has worked with IBM Customer Support and Services for the majority of her career. Currently, she is a member of the COS WebSphere MQ Support Team. Karen currently has the title of Advisory Software Engineer and has been with IBM for 20 years. She has worked with IBM Customer Support and Services for majority of her career. Currently, she is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team and serves as one of the subject matter experts for i5OS, as well as focal point for the i5OS Common Education Conference. As focal point for Common, she has presented on various topics for the conference. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Karen and Blanche.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. This is Karen Stanley. And as Joseph stated, Blanche and I have both been with MQ Support for quite a number of years, and today's topic is a third in a series on data conversion. Please note, and I believe Joseph will be updating the tech note and linking all of the data conversion presentations together. So let's go ahead and get started. Joseph, could you please go to slide number one? Slide number two, please. Yeah, there we go. For today's agenda, we're going to just recap a few terms that are, I guess, important in data conversion for our message data. We're going to go through several scenarios, some of the information you need to collect for problem determination, and again, some helpful links if you use data conversion on a daily basis in your MQMQ environment. Slide number three. To recap, and these are also the next several slides, part of previous data conversion presentations, but we wanted to make sure we recap to make sure everybody is in sync. In WebSphere MQ messaging, one of the most important parts of it is the MQMD, or the message descriptor. The descriptor can contain not only character data, but it can also contain some numeric data and some data that is also not converted. Within MQ, we will convert your data if possible. However, we will not convert the message descriptor, not the message descriptor, but the message ID, Coral ID, and accounting code. These are not converted. So if you want to encrypt or convert these, you would have to write your own exit to handle this. But MQ itself will not convert these fields, which are part of the message descriptor. Slide number four, please. So what are some of the fields that are important for data conversion that are part of the MQ message header? The encoding field, the coded character set. If you're on the iSeries platform, by default, the coded character set is 37, which is for English. If you're on ZOS platform, it's 500. Windows is 437. And a majority of the Unix platforms, their default is 819. However, though, if you're using or have team members that are using Java, you may find that they are using 1208, which is Unicode. And for Java and JMS, that is their default. So that is different than what is running on your operating system or what you may have set for your operating system. Another important field is the format field. For data conversion to happen within MQ, this field has to be set to message format string. It may seem like, oh, if you forget this, that conversion might still happen, and it won't. We'll throw out a nice little error to you if this field is not set properly. Another important field, of course, is the message ID and the Coral ID, and again, we will not convert those two fields. Slide number five, please. So again, as I've already stated, the format field. In MQ, there are several built-in formats, but for data conversion, Either people set the format to be star none, which is the default, but if you want data conversion to happen between, say, for example, iSeries to Windows, which is 37, code character set 37 to 437, the format field has to be set to string. Slide number 6, please. So what do we convert? We will convert your data in one of two ways. We will convert either if the channel, the sender channel, has the convert option of star yes set, or what we recommend is to let the conversion happen on the receiving queue manager or the remote queue manager. We've seen in a lot of different customer scenarios that data may hop between platforms, and in that type of scenario, the best way to convert data is for the final destination queue manager or the receiving queue manager, where the data is going to be maintained, to perform the conversion on the GET operation. And for the MQGET API, you need to have the GMO option of convert specified. Now, you also have to remember that for whatever platform you're on, to make sure that it supports the conversion from and to where, you know, what you're trying to do. For example, on Windows, make sure that, yes, Windows can handle a conversion of, if it's a message from iSeries going from 37 to 437, or if it's AIX to Windows going from 819 to 437. And you can control what character coded set or CSID is used by setting that attribute in your GMO or in your message description. Slide number 7, please. So right now we're going to get into one of the scenarios. And just to state, in the previous data conversion presentations, we have more scenarios about different customer environments that we've discussed. In the previous data conversion presentation, we even did more problem determination and showing traces if you're interested in that particular type of information. These scenarios here actually have come from our team members who have run into several issues that are outside the norm a little bit of what we're doing, and more to do with just everyday use of MQ, trying to, in this case, the first scenario, put on maintenance. And this is a documented APAR, SE36929. And for this particular customer, they were putting on version 7, which is one our latest version of the product. But their system had a CSID of 5035, and they wanted to put on, of course, MQ maintenance. But they received a message, AMQ6914, apply PTS failed. What we learned was that because MQ, and when we're trying to put the PTS, with a primary language of 2962, and the job had a CSID of 5035, the system would not allow us to put the PTS on. This is a defect, and we will be fixing this when for iSeries platform, and this is specific to iSeries, if I haven't stated that for you already. We will be fixing this with Webster MQ version 7.0.1.0 when it becomes available for our particular platform. 7.0.1.0 is available right now for Windows and the Unix platforms, as well as ZOS. And for iSeries, I think we have a few more weeks before it GAs for our particular platform. And you'll also note there is a special circumstance regarding 7.0.1.0 for the iSeries platform, so we've added that link. So if we have any iSeries customers that are interested in 7.0.1.0, please take a look at that tech note, which is 139-6119, or just click on this link if you're viewing the presentation online. Slide number 8, please. The next scenario I'm going to let Blanche discuss because it's specific to ZOS, and she is so much better at that than I am. So let me turn it over to Blanche.
Thanks, Karen. Okay, the scenario 2 was a problem where we're applying ZOS maintenance, and what happened, this is not a data conversion as far as at the MQ level, the actual user data being converted, but this was actually applying again maintenance, and the as you can see, the environment was the OS level was the OS 1.9 and MQ version 6, what we saw was when applying maintenance that on SMPE, the apply failed with the EDC 5121I invalid argument for the shell script CSQ8 JSH1 and also for TAR FSU M8842, and which talked about the code set translation and initialization error. And so that's when we started looking and saying, okay, this is has to do with code sets and code pages. And if we go to page 9, Joseph, the solution was actually when we went back and looked at it, it was at ZOS 1.9, the sys1.scu-ntbl must be cataloged with the exact name, and that's what happened. They did not have that cataloged with that name. They used their own installation high-level qualifier, and so we couldn't find the conversion information that we needed. Let's go to slide number 10. And again, this is scenario 3. This one has to do, this is a one that's been around, this problem with WMQ and KIX TS3.2. When customers upgrade to KIX TS3.2, what happened was there was a change. And the problem that you would see is that it was various. You had unpredictable results. No data conversion occurred. You had binary zeros. You had ABAND OC4s. There were numerous different types of errors that would occur. So if we go to page number 11. Now the solution is there are two APARs. There was one created for KIX TS version 3.2, which is PK58227, and WebSphere MQ version of the fix is PK59397. And there was a local fix for those who were using sender and receiver channel pairs. You could allow the channel to have conversion take place over on the channel. But for many people, they were using client channels, and so they did not have that option, so you would have to put on the maintenance. We go to slide 12. And what we've seen is people would have either one of the fixes on, like they would have the CICS fix on, or they would have the MQ fix on, but it requires you to have both of the fixes applied in order for the conversion to work. And the other is for those in ZOS are aware that what happens sometimes is, again, you'll go look at SMPE and the maintenance, as far as you're concerned, or SMPE is concerned, the maintenance is applied. But what we found also is that we're not running with the libraries that have that maintenance on. So there's a couple things that you can do is you can take a dump of CICS and MQ and submit it to level 2, and we'll look to verify that the fix is on. And if we go to slide 13, something that you can do in your own shop is to actually just browse the libraries, to check the libraries to see and look for specific module names. So for MQ, if you can just go and follow the step here in SCSQ off, if you would just browse and then look for CSQA VICM, and once you find that, then search for CSQA LOCT, and you should see an eye catcher with the maintenance level of UK34250. And the same again for CICS, that you can look for DFH MQLTT and search through and find the PTF level of UK34407. So it's a quick way, because we do get several calls still as people migrate to TS3.2, where these calls have been coming in. And the majority of the time, like I said, one of the PTFs will be applied on one side, but they require both. And the other that we see is that we're not running with the right libraries with the fixes applied. If we go to slide 14.
In slide 14, we have scenario number 4, which is a particular tech note that our distributed team members have put together, tech note number 123-3177. And I didn't put the entire tech note into the presentation since it is online, But basically, it gives you the capability, if you're on the Unix platform, to determine how or how to find your CSID. For the iSeries platform, for us, it is just doing a display system value for the QCCSID system value. Of course, that can be overridden, and you can look at your job attributes to determine if you're running at a particular CSID level for that. But for the Unix platforms, each one could have a little bit of variation. So we put together this tech note for you about looking at the different locales, and for most of the platforms, you just go into what I refer to as the command line and type locale to get the output of what you can see as far as for numeric time and all those attributes. And then, of course, for your CSIDs. So again, I'll recommend if you're on the Unix platforms, which we consider AIX, HP, Linux, and Solaris, you can follow this note to determine what you have set up for your particular environment. And of course, if you discover that your defaults aren't what you thought they would be, you might have to get the system admin person to fix things. But of course, this is at a system level, and if you make a change to the CSID, it's going to affect all new starting processes and or jobs for your particular environment. So that's something to be very aware of, especially if you're very intense about sending a lot of data. We have several customers that it is not unusual for them to process a million messages a day. It's becoming even more common that the queue managers are never shutting down. So you want to make sure if you have to do data conversion that everything is set up the way you want it when the queue manager does its initial start. So the next scenario that we have for you is scenario 5, and I'll let Blanche talk about that one. Could you go to slide number 15, please?
Okay, this is another scenario with MQ and CICS and LE. Again, the environment is ZOS 110, KIX 3.1, MQ version 6. And what was being seen, the problem that was being seen was a MQRC 2085 unknown object name. And this happened after upgrading from ZOS 1.8 to ZOS 110. And what we were seeing when we started taking traces was that the queue name was coming in as ASCII, and of course MQ on ZOS expects EBCDIC. So even though the queue name was correct in ASCII, it was not correct as far as ZOS was concerned because it didn't recognize that name. If we go to page slide 16. This took one of the reasons the scenario was in here, it took a while to figure out what the problem was, because we knew, again, this was outside the scope of actually MQ's data conversion. We weren't even getting to the point where we were going to be looking at any data to convert. We couldn't even recognize the queue name, so we were getting the 2085. But after looking at traces on both MQ and CICS, there is at ZOS 1.9 and above, there was a change that CICS needed to have done, which is documented in this LE APAR PK 56648. And basically what you have to do is update the CSD to the newest level for CEECCSD. In both the references here and the migration guide for ZOS 1.9, in ZOS 110, that we just have the links there. So it's one of those gotchas. I mean, it looks like, you know, it's conversion again. I mean, in a way it is, but it's outside of MQ, but it did take a while to resolve this issue. So it was one that we decided to put in here into our presentation. So it really is going to be resolved by CICS and to make that change when you upgrade. If we go to slide 17.
So on slide 17 is problem determination. And this is just, again, this is in each of the presentations that we've done on data conversion. Okay, what information do we need when we have a data conversion issue? And, of course, for data conversion, it's very important for us to understand the environment or the configuration between the two servers that are in question. So knowing the MQ level of both, and in some cases the operating system, because since the CSID is controlled at the operating system level, for example, in ZOS, it is maintained in the LE, which is the language environment. And for iSeries, it's built or integrated into the operating system itself. And I believe for AIX or Windows, right now I can't remember, it is possible that you don't have the CSIDs installed and you have to go and do it later. So it can be quite a gotcha for you if the paths are not correct. So it's also important to know the CSID for the particular queue manager. If the channel is got convert set to yes or no, if you're doing the conversion or setting the message CSID on the put, that's important for us to know, along with the getting application if you're setting it there. Also, how you set up the transmit queue, just to verify if it's correct. And also the destination queue, if anything's different with that. And, of course, the main thing of all MQ is to get a trace of it. That is outside of some general messages that might get generated saying that data conversion is not supported. Many times the best way we can determine or do the root cause analysis for a data conversion issue is to get the trace on both sides, and they have to be in sync so that the timestamps match up. So that's always important. Slide number 18. Here are some useful websites. If you do a lot of data conversion, of course, the MQ support site, and even though it says System I Globalization, within IBM, just as it is for Java JMS, for the company, a lot of information is all centered in one place. And even though it says System I Globalization, many of ZOS, AIX, all contribute to the IBM globalization calls. And so all the information is in one central repository, and you can use the iSeries link to get there. We also would recommend, if you're doing Unicode or have programmers using Unicode, to go to the Unicode homepage. And a lot of times, nobody wants to print out this huge book of coded character sets. So online, you'll find the link for all the code pages for whatever language. I mean, we have some things out there that I've seen translations between Russian, English, and German, and Hungarian. People want to convert a lot of data. But the one thing we always try to remind people is data conversion versus translation are two different things. Data conversion is just taking the letter A and making sure it's an A in the other language. But we don't do data translation. So however they would say hello in Japanese, we do not translate it to say hello in English or Spanish or whatever language. We just convert data. And we discussed that in the last presentation. Slide number 19, please. We have, what manuals would you recommend if we need to do or find information about the CSID? So we've given you a list of the publications as far as MQ. The main thing are, of course, the commands, the Application Programmer's Guide, and reference. There are some sample programs in the manual. For the channels, it would be the intercommunication book. And, of course, there's always the white paper that we have that's also in the useful link section, which is the Webster MQ data conversion document, which is always very helpful. Slide number 20, please. I know we have terms and definitions there, but that shouldn't have been there. That was in one of the previous sessions, so I apologize for that. But here are the TechNote numbers for the previous webcast, and you can always replay those. And, of course, the MQ link to MQ. And if you do a search for data conversion, you'll find not only all of our tech notes that we have there, but also the white paper. And Blanche and I try to keep the tech notes up to date as far as data conversion. Slide number 21, please. And at this time, we're going to turn it back over to Joseph.
At this point, Susan, we would like to open the line for questions.
Our first question comes from Musa Kumar Agmahapa. Your line is open.
Yeah. Hi. I just have one question regarding the Java program. You said when you send message using the Java program, the a default CCS ID would be, the encoding would be 1208, right?
The CCID would be 1208.
Yeah, but I never, like, I use Java program, like the basic programs to send and get messages from the queue, and I usually see it as 837. I never... So is there any settings that got impacted on this?
You usually see, when you say you see it as 837, are you setting, is this an MQ Java program or just a straight Java program?
Simple Java program.
At a different language or 837 is not?
What platform are you running on?
Solaris.
I don't know if Solaris is different, and it could be that JVM is picking it up from the operating system. Do you know what your default CCID for your Solaris is?
I'm not sure. I need to check that. But I send messages from my Windows to Solaris. Like, I have a Java program in my Windows machine, and I use that program to send messages to the Solaris queue manager.
Yeah, and then you're using the Java program to get the messages off of a queue, possibly.
Yep.
Yeah, because the message is coming over from, if it's coming over from Windows, it probably has the CCID of 437, and then you're converting it in within your Java application. But if you're not setting within your Java application the CCID to be, if that field is not being set within your application, it would normally default to 1208. However, if your operating system is something other than 1208, or in this case could be 837, then the JVM is going to pick that up. So 837 is Chinese EBCDIC?
Uh-huh. But yeah, one more question is, like, whenever I'm using a Java program from my Windows machine to send a message to a Unix platform, you mean to say the default will always be 1208, right?
If you're not setting it, it's the default. If you're not physically going into your Java program and saying CCID equals 1208.
Okay, but I'm sure the program that I have does not have any setting in the code for the CCS ID. It takes the default, but I never saw it as 1208.
Then I can only think that it's picking it up from its JVM, from its virtual machine, which is going to get it from the operating system.
Of the Windows machine, you mean?
No, of the system where the Java program is running.
Okay.
So wherever that program is running, it has it's running in its own JVM. If you're not setting it, then it's going to pick it up from, in this case, the Solaris box. And that's why looking at that tech note that I was mentioning earlier to determine what you have set for your Solaris system.
Okay.
I think that was slide number 14, but the tech note number is 123-3177.
Yeah, you mean to check the locale and find out, right?
Correct, for the Solaris box itself.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I show no questions.
Thank you, Susan. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.